This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Hopefully, everybody's having a great day out there, and it's always a better day, as we've talked about, Dave, when the Mariners win the night before.
Yeah, you know what?
Just sets the tone.
It really does, and especially when one of the best athletes ever to be in Seattle hits a bomb.
How about that? Our
Talking about Cal Raleigh.
National nightmare is over. Nice bait and switch there. Yeah. Very good. Yes, Cal Raleigh with another one. But more importantly, the nightmare that was the homerless streak of Julio Rodriguez comes to an end.
Has not homered yet. 1-0. Swinging a high fly ball out to left field. Number one is sailing away. How far? Midway up the second deck. Julio's first in 2024 is loud. A two-run bomb, truly. And it's 4-0 Mariners.
Exactly as I predicted, Dave.
You called it yesterday, man.
And the day before, and the day before. I just can't bring myself to take credit for something I predicted two series ago. But good to see it happen. You knew it was a matter of time. I mean, it was basically, if he didn't hit it last night, I would have said he's going to hit it tonight.
Yeah.
It was just, he was right there. He's got now a 7-game hitting streak. So he'd been going the other way. He'd been doing all the right things, matter of time, and he just smoked that ball. Almost 111 miles an hour, 110.5 off the bat, 435 feet, not a cheapie, just crushed it. And more importantly, I'm guessing everybody saw this, but his reaction. You saw him running around the bases, and he comes around third base, and he points to his wrist like there's a watch, like it's about time. And then you see him get the trident, and he's hugging the trident. You just see the nobody's obviously more aware of him not hitting home runs than him. And we're all out here wringing our hands. You see what it meant to him. I mean, now I feel like he could hit another one tonight. I just feel like they're going to start showing up rapidly because he got it out of the way. Nothing cheap about it. And his reaction just told me, yeah, he was feeling it. He may have been pressing, even though he was coming up with hits. There might have been some pressure he was feeling, and he got it done.
Well, and it was also like, 43 feet further than Cal's home run, which was 392. So just crushed that thing. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think most athletes will tell you that when that clicks, it's not something that... Now, I mean, he did hit a couple of doubles in Colorado, so he was kind of working his way, right? You got a bunch of singles, got the he has three doubles, but two of them in Colorado recently, and then that's the next step for him. So, I mean, I would say you can count on a home run from him every game from here until probably next week.
Yeah, that's probably how it'll go.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
He's going to do it the rest of the season.
No, I think it would be interesting, though, to see if that did happen or he did start crushing the ball and hitting it in the air, because that's what Service has been talking about, that, you know, that's a guy that, you know, and a lot of hitters, you'll say, hey, let's just try to hit line drives, and he's constantly talking about how Julio needs to get the ball in the air.
Yep.
And he finally did. So, yeah, I mean, I like what JP said. Morosi, when we talked to him about it, he said, you know, now it's a new club in his bag, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure he's hit singles before, but I mean, I think it was just kind of something that he was slowly working towards. And it's kind of cool to see the progression. So let's just hope that it continues.
Well, Service after the game talking about that and saying, you know, hey, we weren't concerned with what was going on. We were starting to see results over the past week or so.
I think he was going to hit a homer this year. So, it'd been a while, obviously. But he smoked that ball. He was right on. He's had a good trip. He's picked it up. He's being aggressive. He's getting the head of the bat out. He's hitting the ball in the air. So a lot of good things there. He's been grinding. It's starting to come together for him, and he'll hit another homer or two.
I agree. I think he will hit another homer or two. So that was cool to see. And again, his reaction just told me, yeah, that he was feeling it. He was feeling it. And he's showing him in the dugout, hugging the trident and joking around, smiling like, thank God, finally. And then Cal Raleigh hits his sixth of the season, which was great to see. Logan Gilbert had an interesting night because the end results were fantastic. I mean, to shut that team down the way that offense, the way that he did, And he did it on a night where the command wasn't there. He had four walks, which is unlike him. So he was dealing with his command. But to grind through that, and again, against a lineup like that on the road and shut them down was fantastic.
Gilbert's next pitch. Swinging, it's a twisting fly ball out to Haniger in right field. Straightaway right, Haniger underneath it, moving back a couple of steps. He makes the catch for out number three. And Logan Gilbert is just in cruise control tonight in Arlington. One hit allowed over six scoreless innings.
How about that?
It's amazing because I'm looking at their numbers, and you know, you look at the slash line numbers, basically they're top 10 Texas is offensively. Mm-hmm. But then you start going through this this lineup and looking at Lowe and Garcia and Seager and Simeon, you go, man, to shut them down.
Two hits he gave up.
It's amazing.
Two hits, four walks, six strikeouts, and 6 2/3.
Yeah, and then your bullpen comes in.
Awesome.
And does a great job. So I think they got, what, three strikeouts?
One hit, three strikeouts, and 2 1/3 combined.
So that was just an all-around great pitching performance, and you know, that's something that has been pretty solid. I mean, there was a couple of hiccups. We didn't quite see the things from Luis Castillo that we expected to see, especially, you know, as the opener. And then, you know, Kirby had a couple rough outings. Almost everybody did, but man, it's been, I would say, would you say Logan's been the most solid though? Consistently?
Yeah, because the first one from Miller was not good, and then he's been great since, and hopefully that continues. Kirby had some big duds. His first was fantastic, remember, and then the next two, I think, were really not good. And he's kind of more of a slowly working towards what he's been.
Yeah.
Luis didn't have that disaster outing. He wasn't the ace. He gave up four runs in each of his first three starts, and then three runs, gave a quality start in the fourth one, and then this last one, he was out of this world. He looked like Luis Castillo. So, yeah, they've taken their turns. They've got it dialed in. The pitching staff is exactly as you expected them to be coming out of spring training, dominant. The bullpen without Brash, without Santos, has been, for the most part, they've a couple hiccups here and there, certainly, but for the most part, they've been fantastic. So, yeah, you just get the offense just to start playing to the back of their cards.
Yeah.
They're sitting here in first place right now. They're a half game up over the Rangers as we sit today. We'll see how it goes. They're in the plus now as far as run differential. They're plus +7, which is good to see. They've won 7 of 10. They're clicking, man. This is what you were hoping for. And they're doing this, you know, without Polanco getting hot, without Garver being hot, without Rayleigh. These guys are we're still waiting for the new guys to kick in here. Polanco's had a couple of moments here and there, but you know, you look at in totality what they've done, these guys aren't close to who they've been in their career yet. So waiting for that. Feels like France has cooled off a bit. Haniger's cooled off a bit. They were the two guys that were hot.
Right.
Now they've kind of cooled off, but Julio's been hot. So hopefully, you know, they're gonna find a way to kind of all get into it together, hopefully.
Yeah, Cal, too. I mean, Cal's been hot. Repaired. What was he? He was below 200 at one point when we were looking at him, his numbers. But
yeah, everybody was.
Yeah, there was like five guys in the lineup. But I'm looking at how they went after him because I think Crawford swung at the very first pitch and got a double.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you saw, Julio comes up and he grounds out, but he swung at the second pitch and grounded out, and then Cal got after, I think it was the third or fourth pitch, but yeah, they just jumped all over Dunning, and it was really, you know, not a ton of production or anything like that, but just some key hits at the right time, and that's always been what Cal has been about, right? Cal is the, you know, not going to kill it with the average, but he comes up with big plays and big moments,
yeah,
big hits.
Just to finish up with Gilbert here, he just fantastic night of two hits, no runs. The four walks were kind of the outlier. Like, all right, but to me, that's almost more impressive in his case because he didn't let any of it cause damage. He was able to get out of it. You know, certainly defense helps and all of that, but he was able to grind through it when he's got guys on base. He's walking guys, and he didn't allow any of that to hurt them, which is huge. And he talked about he's got a cutter that he was using a lot, and he talked about why that was the case.
Like I said, a lot of my stuff's north-south, so if I go into him or something moving away, it just gives him something else to think about. Kind of like diving out to, keeping your hands in. It's a couple of things you have to worry about more so than just timing. So it kind of gives me a different aspect of how I can attack him.
Yeah, so huge pitch for him, and then Scott Servais doubling up on that after the game, talking about how helpful it was to keep that Rangers offense off balance.
It plays off his fastball. You know, they're going to always hunt Logan's fastball. They're going to get on him because he's throwing really hard, and he's aggressive with his fastball, and it just gives him another look. And you saw some awkward swings early with it. I thought it was really effective. He'll continue to use it. It does have a little bit of separation between the fastball and the slider. It sits in the middle, and it's got just enough late movement. It looks just like his fastball, so it's an effective pitch. And the more he throws it, I think the more success he's going to have with it and better feel for it in the strike zone. So really love where he's at. Logan's off to a great start, and I thought his demeanor tonight right from the get-go was like, hey, I'm going to get after you guys, and really took it to them. He was on the attack, as all of our guys were tonight, which was great to see.
It's pretty amazing how pitchers are able to throw that. I don't know how you get a hit in Major League Baseball. That's just a crazy pitch. So kind of like the sweeper we've been talking about, kind of the same concept, but it just, you know, three quarters of the way there, it looks like a strike right down the middle. So,
and yeah. they rid themselves of the jinx, Dave. Last year, 0 for Arlington.
Yeah.
They got it out of the way. They got the win. So
it's kind of discouraging, though, if you win every game in Texas. Are they playing six down there, I think?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, that you'd only be at 500. So
that's true.
Even if you win every single game down in Arlington, right now, the last 2 years, you're 500.
You've won one more than you did last year in Arlington. How about that? There's that. So just a great game. I mean, the big story being Gilbert and Julio finally hitting the home run. Josh Rojas made a brilliant play at third base. Great defensive play at third base. That was
We were talking about that with Brent Stucker in there and with Urias, and I don't know. Is Josh Rojas? Should they just?
I would leave him in. I would just say
that's your guy.
That's all right. We started with a platoon. Let me just see what this guy does when we leave him in there every day.
Yeah.
Does it start to diminish? Do the numbers start coming down? Is he less productive? I don't know. Let's find out. I mean, they got their plan, and I'm sure they're going to stick with whatever the plan is. I just don't see, you know, Urias has been okay at times, but overall he's really not giving you much. He's had a
hit the home run in Milwaukee, or maybe
I can't remember. He's got one home run. I don't remember where he hit that. And he's defensively he's been okay. He's had a couple plays where you're like, yeah, it was a good play, and then others you're like, yeah, that wasn't awesome. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, Rojas has been rolling offensively. He's not doing damage, but he's getting on base and he's hitting in the ninth spot. That's what you want. Get on base. Lineup flips, let those guys drive you in. And he's been doing his job there. So I would personally love to just see them leave him there rather than playing with the platoon situation.
He seems like such a smart player, too. He's very savvy and just
he's a
knows
veteran,
the game.
Dave. Almost 30.
Yeah, I know. I always look at him as this young guy, man. You look at his face and everything. I mean,
yeah.
He's a young-looking person. But, yeah, it was I'm trying to think of – I think he has two errors, but the one was – the one off the noggin, right?
Yeah.
Which it's funny when he threw that, like instantly his reaction was like, oh, you know, like he probably should have moved a little bit further sideways and get the throw in there. But I want to say maybe he's had another one that was really tough, but yeah, I just think he's been solid and pretty reliable at the plate. So why not? I mean, remember what Divish was talking about? He called him a dirtbag.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said his uniform's always dirty. He's always diving. He's
always got
hustler.
The eye black on.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. And then, you know, the better he does, it obviously helps the team. But, you know, we talk to him when things go well, and he's a great interview.
Yeah. That's right. Hey, you know what's funny? I got home, jumped on the treadmill, went out and was doing pressure washing, you know, doing my front driveway.
You love pressure
and
washing.
And so, yeah, I was looking at my phone though, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to look at any scores or anything because I'm recording the game upstairs. And I got nothing. I got no texts from you bragging about calling Julio's home run. Lefko didn't send me anything about the game or whatever. And I go, oh, they must have lost. And so I go up there not knowing and was watching it last night, and I was just thrilled.
There. See, we didn't want to ruin the surprise for you.
Yeah.
Knew you were tending to your lawn duties in your driveway and take great joy and pride in that. Don't want to disrupt it. So.
By the way, if anybody out there has ever pressure washed before, it's really rewarding, and also it's really hard to stop. Like, I did my front walkway, and then I did the driveway, and then I started doing the sidewalk. I mean, if you'd have let me go, I'd have done the whole neighborhood, basically.
I wish I lived next door to you. Because I told you, I saw my neighbor, they pressure washed. I have just a little, like, three steps, a little pad, and then three steps up to the front door. There's not a lot.
Yeah.
But they did theirs. We have matching. Theirs is like, white, and I look at mine, mine looks black compared to that. I've never, it's never been cleaned. So, yeah, I could see a lot of satisfaction at
Well, these days I'll have to throw the pressure washer in the trunk of my car and head over.
You'll be able to do designs in there.
Do you have any more to do?
There's probably the neighbors. They'd probably love you to stop by and just friendly visit, pressure washing.
One year during the pandemic, I think I wrote Wyman and Bob.
Yeah, you did. Took a picture of it.
Rick Riz talked about it on the broadcast. Anyway, yeah, it was good. It was honestly, it was kind of fun watching it that way. I mean, I'm not one of those people that like, if other people know it, I have to know it. No, I can wait. But I'm not going to be obnoxious and say, don't tell me the score. Don't tell me anything about the game, because you can't help it. But I felt like that was one of those where I'm like, okay, man, nobody called me or texted me or anything. Of course, I don't get many texts anyway.
You're not part of the abandoned boys.
Abandoned boys, yeah. Like Warriors got.
You know, that text chain was going crazy. I got to believe this is just confidence-wise. A, you beat the team that's in front of you, the team that won the World Series, the team that you couldn't beat in Arlington. It had to be, you know, we're talking about Julio hugging the trident and the weight off his shoulders with the home run. Maybe as a team, there's a little bit of that. Like, you know what? This was the House of Horrors last year. We were 0-6 in Arlington. This is the team that won the World Series. This is a team that's ahead of us in the division.
Yeah.
And with that one win, now everything can change tonight. They win, they're back in first place. I get it. But just for that night, there had to be some satisfaction and maybe some sense of relief. Like, yeah, we slayed the dragon tonight. You know, this is the team we're chasing in this division, and we've had no luck in this building.
Yeah, kind of like Julio cracking the case on his home runs. I mean, yeah, you get a chance. I mean, those confidence builders. You know, you look around and go, hey, look, everybody did what they were supposed to do. I mean, everybody pretty much. Now they didn't get a ton of offense, right? But you had two base runners that got taken in from, you know, with home runs. So, I think that's something that's similar to an individual thing like Julio. You know, once you get the sort of recipe, you figure out, hey, we're good enough to beat this team. And I think that's what they're going to figure out over the next, you know, couple of weeks, that this is a much better team than they've been playing. And, you know, like you said, hitting, you know, up the average that's on the back of your card, I just, you know, this team was, you know, they looked really good in spring training. It was very promising and didn't start out that way. So, yeah, let's if they're able to just, I said, let's just take one. Now I'm going to get greedy and say, how about two?
Yeah, win the series. Win the series. And this one's just for you here, Dave.
And here she comes. It is on the way and it's flying toward home. Swinging a fly ball into right field and deep. Garcia going back, looking up, and goodbye baseball. Into the lower deck in right field. Hot hitting Cal Raleigh with his sixth home run of the season. And it puts the Mariners on top 2-0 here in the top of the first inning.
Two of my favorite people right there, Rick Riz and Cal Raleigh. There we go. Yeah.
Well, you'll get one of them today. Cal Raleigh you won't get. He's not in the lineup today.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I don't. As hot as he is, I got to believe maybe they just feel like he needs some rest, or he could be dinged up. Who knows?
Well, in all seriousness, I mean, not only is he, you know, coming alive offensively, but you know he's a really good catcher, and not even the things that you see. I just think the things that he says to his starting rotation, and you know some of the he'll straighten people out when he needs to, and you know I feel like he's just got such a, he's like a coach, man. There is no way that Cal Raleigh is not a manager 15 to 20 years from now. No way,
unless he's just got so much money. He's like, I don't want to deal with those kids. They don't listen. I don't have time.
That doesn't sound like Cal.
The quick stat before we get to take two, Lefko put this on here, and I think it's worthy of repeating. Mariners starters in the last 11 games allowed two or fewer runs in every game. Their ERA in these 11 games, 1.30, with a 10 earned runs in 69 and a third innings pitch, 70 strikeouts, 13 walks, held teams to two runs or fewer in six straight games. It's just, it's been amazing.
Curious why they went back 11 games, but that's cool.
That's where the pitching found it, I guess. I guess that's where.
No, it's funny.
Oddly specific, Dave. Exactly. There's the answer.
No, I mean, that's what you do with stats. I mean, you kind of pick and choose, but no doubt this is totally impressive. I mean, you look at the last 11 games. That's crazy. They're on a roll right now.
All right, let's take two.
Well, big day for your Lions, Bob. They handed out two massive contract extensions. Yeah, get that gear out. It's going to be an exciting season. So first of all, Amon-Ra St. Brown now became the highest paid wide receiver with a 4-year, $120 million extension, a record for the position, $77 million guaranteed. And then just hours later, they made Penei Sewell the highest paid offensive lineman. 4 years, $112 million extension, $85 million guaranteed.
Goodness.
That's an offensive tackle you're talking about there. $85 million guaranteed. Incredible. And then every time I see one of these wide receiver deals here, I go, you got a good deal on DK. Really good deal. I think it was like $24 million was the average. I think it was 3 years, 72 or something like that.
St. Brown put up some big numbers, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
119 catches, 1,515 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
That's because they had Dopey throwing him the ball all the time.
Dopey, I thought you said you turned the corner on him.
I still like to. Maybe the 360 will send in a bleep you text to me.
Dopey.
Now, some injury news today. Blake Snell was scratched from his scheduled start and placed on the IL with a left adductor strain, and he's lost all three of his previous starts. Hadn't even made it into the fifth inning in any of those.
That's a bummer. That's a bummer. I know there was a slim hope that maybe the Mariners would make a move on him. He was hanging out there for a long time. He was one of the four Boersmen that they were calling, and he finally lands. And I will say this. A lot of people were feeling he was being rushed into the rotation since he didn't have spring training. He wasn't on a team. I'm sure he was working out and doing all that, but he wasn't different conditions. You talk about football shape versus game shape, all that. So, yeah, I don't know if that's the cause of what's going on with him here, but I do remember a lot of people saying, man, this feels like a mistake to rush him out there so quickly.
What's the left adductor?
I don't know what
that
is.
What is that, elbow?
It's like a hip groin region.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, local guy.
Yep. Yeah, rooting for him. Rooting for him. But, yeah, bummer to see that happen. All right, Take 2 is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. Coming up, we'll wrap up our draft profiles with a position group that could be a bigger need for the Seahawks in the very near future. We'll talk about that next. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Coming up at 3 o'clock today, Mike Blowers will join us on the program. Birthday boy, Mike Blowers. It's his birthday today.
How about that? You go on his pro baseball reference page, and it says happy birthday.
Oh, 15, is it?
Yeah, 50. Well, maybe he doesn't want me revealing what his age is, but everybody knows.
They know now.
You can go there and look.
You go look for yourself. Yeah, so we'll talk to the birthday boy at 3 o'clock as the Mariners get set for game 2 of their series against the Texas Rangers. We'll turn you over to the pregame show at 4 o'clock. Meanwhile, we've been doing this with all position groups, taking a look at some of the potential draft picks that could land on the Seahawks roster. And we look at wide receivers, which, you know, we say, well, they're pretty set at receiver, right? You got Tyler, who just restructured his deal. You got DK Metcalf. We'll see what kind of receiver Bobo ultimately becomes. But then you talk about the age of Tyler, and maybe, and I'll have to look at his contract to see how punitive it would be if they moved on after this season. But there's a feeling that, all right, he's getting older. Is this going to be his last season with the Seahawks? I don't know if that's how John Schneider and McDonald are feeling. This year will go a long way into telling that story, but maybe they're starting to look for, all right, we know we have DK. Not sure what Bobo's going to be. He could be a good, really good receiver. Maybe he's just a guy who's just a solid contributor, but maybe not your ultimate number three there. You got Jackson Smith.
Well, and this is a guy, I mean, I looked at, you know, these guys are projected second, third round, the three guys we look at here, but that could easily be fourth or fifth, you know, you just never know. But yeah, I mean, it would be one of those positions that would maybe be a surprise, but not as a mid-round pick, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, first round, second round, that's one thing, but this wouldn't be too much of a surprise. And, you know, a couple of these, two of these receivers I came across just by looking at quarterbacks, which was Spencer Rattler and Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
So South Carolina, and this guy's probably my favorite because I love his comp. His comparison, for me anyway, is Anquan Boldin. You remember Anquan Boldin from...
Physical.
Oh, my God.
He used to play quarterback at one point. Was it college or high school? He had some quarterback history, too.
I don't know. I don't remember that part, but Xavier Leggett, he is 6'1". Some people say 230. Some people say 225. So he just has just an unbelievable power source. Remember, Anquan Boldin got knocked out by the New York Jets. I can't remember who the safety was that just killed him, hit him right in the head, knocked him out. This is back in 2008, so they weren't as careful then. So they just dragged him off the field. But, he gets knocked out. He had to have some kind of surgery or something. There was a crack in, like, his nasal cavity or something because he got hit so hard. And then he had to have, like, his jaw wired shut. He missed 2 games. He came back 2 games later and went out and caught 9 catches for 2 touchdowns. So this is a big, strong, thick dude, man. He is tough. He's got the power source. Ran a 4.39 at the combine, and he high points the ball really well. That's one thing you see in college. Like, a lot of the college receivers will wait for the ball to come to them. Mm-hmm. And then there are guys that go up and get it. You have to go up and get it in the NFL. The DBs are too good. They're not gonna allow that. So those are the kind of things. The other things that most receivers suffer from is running super sharp routes. And, you know, and I said, in some ways he's kind of raw a little bit. But, you know, like, I always use DK as the example that, like, his stance wasn't very good and he rounded off routes and everything, but everything DK did worked.
Yeah.
So when you're in college and it's working, you're like, yeah, I'm having a pretty good year, pretty successful. I don't
really going to mess with it.
Feel like I need to change anything. Get in the NFL. I mean, you look at the field layout, so there's different targets. So that's a little bit of, you know, how the hashes are wider and numbers and all the landmarks change just a little bit. But also just running the right routes and, you know, not rounding things off.
Well, you've talked about that a lot, that, yeah, your athleticism gets you get away with a lot at the college level, where in the NFL, if they tell you to run 5 yards, cut, it can't be 5 in a step or 5 in 2 steps. You cut at 5.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be off target throw. And then, you know, the quarterbacks will be like, what are you doing? You're supposed to run a 5-yard route, not a 5.5-yard route. So, you know, they, and that makes them look bad. So, yeah, you got to, it definitely has to be more precise. So that's, you know, that's pretty much the struggle. It's kind of like running backs. You know, when they come into the NFL, you got to learn how to block. Because if you were a good player like Rashad Penny, you're either being thrown the ball or handed the ball. You're not blocking. You're not using people like that to block. So those kinds of players. So this is that's kind of the sort of battle for these guys. But he's got a second round projection. Like I said, he's a big dude. Had 1,255 yards, 7 touchdowns. So and then that was Spencer Rattler throwing him the ball. But Troy Franklin really stood out to me. He has a second round grade. He's out of Oregon. And, you know, I was looking at Bo Nix, and I'm like, who is this guy catching all these touchdowns? The dude caught 14 touchdowns. And unbelievably, that was third in the NCAA. But, yeah, so somebody had 16, one had 15. But anyway, he lots of touchdowns. He ran a 4.41 at the combine, had 13.83 as far as yardage goes. And, yeah, I mean, this is a good player. Here's one of the things about him. He has a really big catch radius, which, you know, you see him catch balls all, you just look at, when you're watching especially a quarterback, you look at what they see. They see a guy, you know, if a guy has a big catch radius, you see like a big circle, right? I can throw it anywhere in here. Who was remember Megatron?
Yeah.
I remember they had a graphic on that, like, he his basic range was like the size of a 2-car garage.
Yeah, it wasn't like him and was Julio Jones the other guy that had the just crazy catch radius in their prime.
Right. Yeah, so that's what Troy Franklin provides. The other thing I that kind of stood out to me, I don't know if I mentioned this, 4.41 40 at the combine. So, and he had a really good senior year. But one of the things I saw, he's not afraid of contact. He's not a huge guy, 6'2", 176 pounds. But there was kind of a Chris Carson moment where he had a DB, he could have put a move on, and he put his shoulder down and ran over him. And I'm like, I kind of like that.
Like that attitude. Yeah. You got to change that at the NFL level, unless he's going to That's pretty light, 176. That's he's a string bean.
So I like the toughness, you know, in that decision. But now Chris Carson ran over people like 4 yards deep in the end zone.
Run them over out of bounds.
just to send a message.
Yeah, it's not a great business decision, but I really love that attitude.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, we've been looking at a lot of Husky. I was looking at an article that there's possibly like 12 or 13 Huskies that could end up either being drafted or free agents, you know, so there's a lot. So I'm looking at Jalen McMillan, and, you know, he didn't have the greatest. He had a much better junior year, but his senior year, I mean, his junior year, 79 catches, 1,098 yards, 9 touchdowns. This last year, just 45 catches, 559 yardage, and 5 touchdowns. And he had some injury problems.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a, you know, and he's more of like a third, fourth rounder. But, you know, I was looking at, you know, the way I would categorize him, he gets open more like Tyler Lockett than like Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin would get open because he had crazy quickness.
On the snap, he was so quick, man.
Yeah, I remember watching his drills at Stanford when he was working out. I couldn't believe how quick he could, you know, his shake. Tyler Lockett gets open by finding the middle point of a zone. You know, and that's the thing I think that he's really good at, Jalen McMillan. The other thing is, too, he doesn't run into coverage, meaning if he's in a spot like between the corner and the safety and cover two, and, you know, he's wide open, he doesn't like run out of it and run towards the safety. He just kind of chokes it down and so that he stays in the open part of the zone. And he's got a really good sense for that. So that's what I liked about Jalen McMillan. And I want to say was Tyler Lockett a third rounder? I want to say second or third, I think. So
they moved up to take him.
I remember that. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to compare him, you know, directly to Tyler Lockett necessarily, but I don't know. He has some of the qualities that Tyler does because, like I said, I mean, he does have crazy quickness. And I do remember Tyler saying that he could beat anybody on the team and as far as a race. A
third round race. Pick 68.
Yeah. Okay. So
69, excuse me.
Yeah. Could be a guy like that if they, you know, if they think he has that special quality. But yeah, it would be interesting. I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they took. I feel like once you get past the second round, then you can go, okay, yeah, we're gonna take a player that we don't necessarily need, but let's just see, you know, what happens here. I don't think it's that nonchalant for John. I think they're picking guys they know are gonna. They think they know are
the
gonna
war room. What do you think?
Yeah, let's just go receiver.
Yeah, let's just do it. Let's just see what happens.
But I what I mean by that is, I think, you know, the shock factor should be much lower.
Right,
If they take a guy like that, you know, then that shouldn't be that much of a surprise.
And a reminder: you are going to have wall to wall coverage here and Seattle Sports tomorrow. We will be there live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. We'll be there live on Friday and Saturday until the draft. The moment it begins till the moment it ends, you'll have coverage here. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. Tomorrow it'll be this show. It'll be Wyman and Bob along with Brock Heward, Michael Bumpus out there with us. And then on Friday, Paul Moyer will be on set with us. We'll have check-ins from Brady Henderson. So we've got you covered wall to wall on everything that goes on. Meanwhile, we've got a shorter show once again today because of the Mariner game coming up. But don't worry, there are always things that are bugging us, and we're going to find out what those are. Coming up with What's Bugging Bob, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
What's Bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
A reminder, coming up at 3 o'clock, Mike Blowers will join us for his weekly conversation, so definitely make sure you stay tuned for that. And it's his birthday, so you can send in warm wishes to him. We'll try to relay some. He has no social media.
I'm thinking if we, like, send, you know, maybe sing happy birthday to him or something, he might maybe tear up.
Yeah,
he seems like very emotional.
love Mike. What's Bugging Bob is presented by Issaquah Pest Control. And let's start, as we do each and every day, with our guy, the great Matt Nelson. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Just super. How are you?
Have you upset yourself today, yesterday?
Not myself. This is actually something external that's bugging me.
Oh, okay. By the way, does this have anything to do with the race that started yesterday? It didn't include Lefko. You and Wyman made a mad dash for the gate. I was like, what's going on here?
It happened just after that. Oh, and I got to say, well played, Dave.
you didn't know the Ford POS had that kind of pickup, did you?
No, it was pretty surprising, honestly. I didn't think Dave saw me leave my parking spot, and I thought, oh, I've got the perfect opportunity to cut him off right before he gets to the parking lot gate. No, he saw me a mile away. He was ready for Matt's move.
No, he likes cutting us off.
It's fun. You know, it's just good, clean fun.
I feel like he would have ran into me if we'd have been closer. Yeah,
that would be funny.
That would be funny considering I've been the one who has wanted you two to crash. It'd be the wrong combination.
Wyman loses control, crashes through the gate.
That would not be funny. Okay. You two crashing into each other.
So
hilarious.
Did you beat him out of the lot, huh?
Yeah.
Is this where this story's going?
What do you mean?
Well, no.
Well, we don't know the second half. Yeah. So it was after that.
Okay, so that was
unfortunately funny. Dave turned right out of the parking lot. I turned left. We lost each other at that point. Mm-hmm. But soon after that, I got caught behind this like old classic car that had something wrong with its exhaust system because it stank. And yesterday was a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
Windows down, sunroof open. Beautiful. Just beautiful. I wanted to get all that fresh air that I could. And this car in front of me just destroyed that beautiful day with pollution. And it just drove me nuts. And I had to roll up all the windows. It did. And it stank. And so I had to roll up all my windows. I'm trying to get around this guy, and he must know that I'm trying to get around him. Because every time I'm switching lanes, he's switching with me. I don't know if he was just being a jerk or also trying to weave through traffic, but I just wanted to get away from him. Luckily, he finally turned. But at that point, it was like 10 minutes into the drive, and I was close to my apartment. It was just
ruined it for you.
It ruined the beautiful day.
There are jerks out there. They exist.
And I'm one of them. But this guy was being a jerk to a jerk. That's not fair. You can't be a jerk to a jerk.
There's no jerk on jerk crime around here.
Come on.
Where's the respect amongst fellow jerks?
He's not following the jerk code.
That's exactly right.
We're not savages out there, right?
We live in a society.
Us jerks have to stick together.
Right. So are you driving a Subaru? Is that right?
That is correct.
My dad had a Subaru he would not let go of. My dad's always been one of those guys that, you know, this car is reliable, and they are, right? But they're also the first people in traffic that you would see that would, like, you know, when two lanes are coming together and somebody decides to be the regulator, like, I don't want those people in the left lane going up there, so they'll get in the middle so nobody can go around them. Typically Subaru drivers. That's what I would say, Matt.
I'm going to do my best to break that stereotype while driving.
What about you, Lefko?
I guess it relates in both aspects of that. The driving part and I didn't race home because I stayed to run because it was such a beautiful day outside and wanted to take advantage of that. But it's also still peak allergy season. So
yeah, you're getting crushed.
So my running outside was actually just inviting the death right back into my lungs. So I had to stop because I was dying. Like, I could feel it in my nose. I was choking.
While you were running?
Dry heaving, after a little bit.
You're dry heaving?
It was up the stairs, the House Street steps. And you got people like doing their slow walks up there. And I'm trying to, you know, be somewhat in shape running up there. I get up one time of those and I just can't breathe. And I'm leaned over on the side, just like coughing up everything. And people are walking by me like, yeah, this guy must be pretty out of shape.
I know. They go, this guy must be a smoker.
Wow, this guy. That's kind of what it sounded like. All the phlegm just coming up. So that was part of it. And then Matt reminded me with the driving story. When I was driving in today, so, you know, in front of our building, it's one lane. So you can't really go around people. And there was a car in front of me that stopped at the crosswalk, not because there were any pedestrians, but because there was a car turning left. And so this car in the middle of just driving decides, hey, I'll stop right here and indicate to the car on the other side to turn left. Well, that car that's turning left is a normal driver and they're not going because they think, hey, the normal flow of traffic will go by, then I'll turn.
Yeah.
So all of us cars behind him,
everybody stopped
hard. And I was the one right behind. So I was the guy, you know, the unfriendly one who honked. And then that car was chastised and moved on.
Chastised.
Yeah, but that's your duty. That you're, if you're the person behind, you're the one that's supposed to.
I moved him along. There was no stopping for a car to turn left.
Yeah,
you go, and the car will turn when you're gone.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
No, I'm happy.
Mariners win all as well.
I'll tell you what, that does. I am a little bummed, but nobody gives a crap, okay? But, you know, my pressure washer, it rattles, right? But it's like shaking all the screws loose. And so its days are numbered. That's what I worried about.
Does that thing vibrate your hands?
No.
Okay. Because somebody sent in a text, and I just skimmed through it quickly. This is something about trying to drink a beer afterwards is challenging. I was like, all right, why is that? Is that your hands are vibrating, or you can't hold it, or what?
No, I typically hold it with one hand
and a
beer in the other one. I don't know. That would be something. I need to make some changes. But when I do outdoors, like when I do work outdoors, I have to have a beer.
What do you need to make changes with? Hey, your process of power washing?
Just maybe don't drink beer every time I do yard work. So, but the two go together.
There's a lot of alcohol in summertime.
Yeah.
I need to make some changes. That's great.
Got one hand on the pressure washer, the other with the beer.
And no problems doing both at
and
the
I'm
same time.
Happy as a clam.
Perfect. All right. What's Bugging Bob presented by Issaquah Pest Control. It's a big day for this guy, Mike Blowers. It's his birthday. Mariners are winning, looking good. So all is well. He's going to join us live from Texas. Coming up next, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.